person in the building. The word of the Lord is applicable to all people, all seasons. There's never going to be a time where you're going to say that the word wasn't for me. It is for you. It may not fit where you're at, but you just hold on. It'll fit somewhere in your future. Amen. Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1. When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied wherein never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strode them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, now the eventide was come. He went out unto Bethany with the 12. I want to preach tonight what I feel the Lord would have these graduates and those here tonight to hear: a place where two ways meet. A place where two ways meet. Lord bless you. You may be seated. While we are gathered here today to honor these graduates, it is my endeavor to convey something that will help shape, help direct them. I also believe that God will speak to every person under the sound of my voice. I don't believe we should waste a message, but I believe that there's always something that we can glean from the word of God. Such is the case today. For at one point in time, most of us stood where these young people stand. Perhaps you can remember the moment that you graduated. Or if you chose to forego a graduation and enter into your field of labor. At some point, everyone was at this juncture of life. One moment, you're staring longingly into the distant future, while at the same time glancing over your shoulder at where you came from. Graduates, can I tell you today, you've made it this far by your hard work and by the help of the Lord. Amen. The last minute cramming for tests for now in high school, it's over. The projects, the papers, it's over. But I want you to know what's not over. Life is not over. On the eternal scale, life is barely a dot on the radar. And if you've ever wondered where we get the phrase, Lord willing, let me answer that for you today. Because in James chapter 4, it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. As I preach here today, I also think about how fast 5 years has gone since I arrived. And it's happened just like that. I go from dark hair to gray hair just that fast. And so you think in your own life how fast your children have grown. How fast you've been at your job, and then it begins to go faster and go faster. The Bible is true when it says that life is a vapor. None of us are guaranteed another day, and therefore Scripture instructs us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Should the Lord tarry, graduates, you'll blink and you'll be graduating tomorrow. You'll blink and college will be over. You'll blink and you have a family and all such as like that. But I rise to tell each of you graduates and everyone listening, regardless of what direction life goes, there is nothing that you can do that will be more rewarding than serving the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Money will come and go. Opportunities will always be there. The things that you think are the most important are not. And can I hear someone say tonight with me, the most important thing is being saved. If you believe it, clap your hands unto the Lord. Everything begins with a decision. Somebody say decision. You make choices, and your choices make you. We all make them. People are not products of bad environments. People are products of bad choices. Because many, many people have risen out of bad environments. They have risen out of dysfunctional families. Because somewhere along the way, they made a choice that said, my past will not define my future. Where I come from does not have to dictate where I go. I've got a destiny. And young people, graduates, you have a destiny, and it starts. Starts with a choice. Just a choice is nothing more than a crossroads. It's a meeting point. It's a place of decision. As we look at our text today, there are several noteworthy points that I'd like to make as they relate to where we are and where these graduates are. My mother was a grammar teacher. So if there was one subject that I had to pay attention, it was in grammar or English. And there are five elements to every story that I believe we can apply these five elements to this text today. The first is the who. The central figure in the story that we read in our text is the colt. The Lord sent two disciples to retrieve this colt. Perhaps we could equate this colt with a graduate, not fully experienced, not well trained, hasn't had to carry the load of life yet, not the most talented, yet they're there. The Lord knew where the colt would be. It was there. Graduates, I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. The greatest thing you can do for the Lord is be there. If it's prayer meeting, be there. If it's church, be there. If it's choir practice, be there. If it's outreach, be there. If it's a youth function, be there. Don't worry about what mom and daddy does. You be there. Because God needs people that are going to be where they're supposed to be when he needs them the most. See, y'all just thought I was preaching to graduates. I'm going to preach to them, but I'm really sliding some in for y'all. Because the enemy would love nothing more than to get people so bogged down and so busy and so doing everything else they want to do that they're neglecting their duties to the house of God and to the things of God. So you need to make up in your mind, I'm going to be there no matter what. Let me just hit this devil while I'm right here. People nowadays complain about time. I don't have time. Let me tell you, there's always been 24 hours in a day. There's always been 7 days a week. Nobody gets extra hours. Nobody gets extra days. The most productive people in the business world get the same amount of time as the least productive people in the business world. The difference is, what do you do with your time? And people have enough time to do what they want to do. So young people, you need to make up in your mind that I'm not going to let the urgent crowd out the important, because there's nothing more important than being there for God and being there for church. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your friends say. You need to be there. God's not looking for the most qualified. He'll take the unqualified but consistent person. He'll take a Moses. He'll take a Peter. He'll take a David. He'll take a Daniel. And he'll take you here today. The second is the what. You got the who, but then you got to have the what. The what. What was the occasion? What motivated the Lord to send for the colt? He knew that there would be a triumphant entry, and he would need an entourage. The king would be coming. You may ask yourself, how is this applicable today? Why are we gathered here today? What's the occasion? To the which I reply that there is a day when the king is coming. There is a moment when the eastern sky is going to split. And no, he's not coming after a donkey. He's coming back with those that were available to be used by God, like that colt was available. Don't you think for a moment that this is ritualism at its finest, but rather this is an opportunity that we all have been afforded to make ourselves ready and available for when that king comes back. I want to be the one coming with him. When the king splits the eastern sky, I want to be that one and numbered in that army. Amen. So you got the who, you got the what, but then there's the where. Where did they find the colt? They found it at a place where two ways met. They found it at a crossroads, the same place every person here has found yourself through life, a place of decision where desire and destiny intersect. There came a point where the colt, listen to me, graduates, there came a point where the colt was caught between two types of people. Those sent by God to direct him to his destiny, and those that were there that were trying to keep him held back. And throughout life, when you get to that place where two ways meet, you're going to find people all around you. You're going to find those that are trying to help you get to your destiny. And you're going to find those that are simply trying to hold you back from becoming who God's called you to be. I'm talking about a place where two ways meet. Can I talk to some other people here tonight that you have found yourself in that very spot where your destiny is intersecting with decisions and desires, and you got people all around you speaking into your ear? You better be careful what voice you listen to. You better be careful who you allow to direct you, lest you go down the wrong path. Who will you listen to? You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You show me who you surround yourself with, and I'll show you where you'll be in 10 years. Because if you want young people, if you want to be a prayer warrior, you're not going to find that prayer room. You're not going to find yourself in a prayer room by yourself. If you don't make something up in your mind, if you want to just hang out with friends outside the prayer room and not be a prayer warrior, that's fine. But if you want to be a prayer warrior, you got to go to the prayer room. You don't surround yourself with people that are comfortable on the pew, not going to a prayer room. You're not going to be a prayer warrior like that. You want to be a prayer warrior, you get with friends that want to pray. I can remember turning down invitations to hang out with my friends on Friday nights because we had youth rallies. You want to go to a ball game or you want to go to a youth rally? As for me, I want to go to a youth rally. Let the world be the world. I want to go to heaven. I want to surround myself with friends that want to go to church. Yes, sir. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. David found himself in that place, torn between his destiny, which was Goliath, and people hiding in fear, which was those that were supposed to be serving the Lord. There's going to come a point where God's going to detach you from those people that are trying to hinder you. God's going to allow people to fall out of your life. Let me just declare this. The danger of social media is when you invite people back into your life that God took out of your life. How many people are reconnecting with people on social media and their lives are being destroyed because God took people out of your life and you went and found them and tried to drag them back into your life? You know what you had before you had social media? Peace. You had peace. Now social media, you don't have no peace. It wouldn't hurt you a bit to unplug and try to just let God get some peace back into your spirit, because you're more worried about what you're missing out on than what God's blessed you with. You ain't missing out on anything. You got the who, you got the what, the where, but then you got to have the why. Why was Jesus sending two disciples? There was a need. There was a purpose. There was an occasion. Let it be known today that there is indeed a need for you tonight, graduates, in the plan of God. You are not here by accident. You are not just a small piece of the puzzle of life. But every person has a place in the kingdom of God. And you've got to realize that you are not an insignificant number amongst the billions. But Jesus, or the Lord, spoke to Jeremiah and said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." When those disciples got to that colt, they were sent with a word. This is what Jesus told them. He said, "You tell them, if they try to oppose what you're trying to do, you tell them the Lord hath need of it." And so what I'm here tonight to declare to hell and to every demon that would be in earshot is that the Lord has need of you. You're not here by accident, but you're here by the divine will of God. And there's not a demon in hell that can hold you back at the word of the Lord. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? got the who, the what, the where, the why, but you got to have the how. Five elements to every story. The how. How will I ever reach my potential? How will my life be what God wants it to be? Moses, deliver my people from Egyptian bondage. You know what he said? How? Y'all didn't know he was an Indian. How? We get caught up in the how. We may have the who, what, where, and why. But where we get hung up is, how is this all going to happen, God? See, right now you're dreamers. Don't ever stop dreaming. Dreaming is from God. Dreaming sparks faith. Beware of dream killers. There's plenty of people out there that's going to tell you no. Don't listen to any of them. Don't listen. I had people tell me I would never be anything because I didn't come from a preacher's family. They're wrong. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the people that's going to tell you every reason why you're not going to do it and why you're going to fail. I use them as stepping stones to get me to my destiny. It had nothing to do with me. I just believed in a dream that God planted inside of me, a calling. How? How is it all going to happen? How are we? I'm picturing these disciples, two of them, and they've got this colt. You know what a colt is? It's untrained. It's not the most qualified out of the bunch. And they're walking back. Now, what in the world's he going to do with this stink? And nobody's ever sat on him. He's wild. He's untamed. But doesn't God get the glory out of using what you least expect him to use? He could have easily said, go get the best one. Go get the one that's the easiest and the most gentle. But he didn't. He said, you get me that graduate that's coming out of high school, that's got passion, that's got a dream, that's been praying when nobody else has heard them praying. And I've got a place for them. And how's it going to happen? I'm going to tell you how. Because Jesus is the anointing. And when the anointing sat upon the untrained colt, it immediately rose to the occasion and it fulfilled its purpose. Same way people here had dreams, and you've got aspirations, and you've got desires. And you wouldn't be where you are today had it not been for God that took you and helped you and molded you and made you to what he wanted you to be. I can remember I had three things in life that I wanted to do. I wanted to work at Waffle House. I wanted to ride on the back of a garbage truck. And I wanted to be a preacher. God chose what he saw fit, and I'm thankful for it. Although I'm appreciative for those that ride on the back of garbage trucks, and I love me some Waffle House, I'm glad I am where I am. But I can tell you what's real, is I can tell you where I was sitting on my backyard service when my pastor was preaching. 21 years ago, feeling that call of God, feeling the tug of the Spirit, saying, God, I know where I'm supposed to be, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. I know I'm supposed to preach the gospel. I know I'm supposed to evangelize. I know I'm going to pastor. I saw myself literally preaching youth camps on the other side of the world. I saw dark-skinned people. I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I was at a place where two ways meet. When you get to those intersections in life, you got two choices. You can trust the process and let God lead you closer to your destiny. Or you can let fear hold you captive and you just keep backing up further and further away from where you were supposed to be. All I knew is I needed a job. I went to work in electric field. Didn't know nothing about electricity. I just knew a lot about I need money. Whoever pays, I'm coming. And I remember working out there, surrounded by people that were just ungodly people. Bring my Bible out of my lunchbox. I'm the Christian. They called me preach, and I just read my Bible. You know what? I wasn't there to be an electrician. I was just there in the process. God wasn't calling me to be an electrician. I just was biding my time till the how. After a year, my parents bought a feed store. So I went from electrician to cowboy. And I'm not an electrician. I'm not a cowboy. I had yellow mustard Tony Lama boots. Yowza. You got that right. Pearl snap buttons. The only thing I didn't do was a cowboy hat. Had too big of a head for a cowboy hat. And we were open from 7:30 to 5:30, me and my mother, and we each had a rocking chair, and I rocked thousands of hours in a rocking chair at a feed store. But you know what I'd do? I'd bring my Bible, and I'd go back there, and I'd walk amongst that feed, and I'd pray, and I'd cry, and I'd say, God, you didn't call me to work at a feed store the rest of my life. I'm not destined to throw hay. I'm not destined to haul feed. There's nothing wrong with that. Got to have feed stores. That wasn't my calling. There was something deeper. God would birth in my heart. And I'd go back there and I'd preach and I'd pray and I'd cry. And I'd say, God, I don't know how I'm ever going to get to that place where you want me to be. But I know it's going to happen. Young person, you know the dreams and the aspirations God put in your heart. Don't you dare give up on them. Don't you judge your story by the chapter that you're living in. Now, finally, I remember when my parents had to make the decision to close that feed store down. My mother said, okay, son, I don't want to do this, but this is our only choice. And I wrote a prayer down and I put it in my wallet. And I wrote a date. I said, God, by this day. I was already asked to be the youth pastor at our local church. So I was part-time youth pastor and I was full-time feed store cowboy. And I said, all right, God, by this day, either I'm going into full-time ministry or I'm going to go get a job, a J-O-B. Some people ain't even read the book of Job because they thought it said job. And Brother Glenn, I had that prayer in my wallet, and I was so full of faith those first few days. And my prayer was, God, I want my pastor to ask me to come full time for the church by this date. Didn't tell a soul about it. Week number one, God can do it. Week number four, God don't even know who I am. I was so low. I was so low. It got down to the last day. The last day that I wrote down on that prayer. And I went to the house, lived in the little parsonage behind the church. My girls wanted to go to the library. Well, I left their library books in my office. So I said, I'm going to walk to the church and get those books. Walk through the backyard. I'm telling you, I was dragging. I was thinking, okay, I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to start job hunting. Walked on the parking lot, and there was a car all the way on the other corner of the parking lot. I didn't even recognize it. I'm walking to the church, almost to the church. Voice hollers out, Brother Tyler. I turn around and I look, and it was my pastor who just happened to be driving by in his son's car, stopped in the parking lot when he saw me. Walked up to me, He said, you get back next week. This was a Friday. He said, you get back on Monday. He said, I won't talk to you. I want you to come on full time working for the church. That day, that moment, all the worry in the past subsided because God opened the door and I've never looked back since. See, you're not going to figure out the how, graduates. But let me tell you where you will get. You're going to get into a place where two ways meet. I had opportunity after opportunity to go make more money. I can remember working at that feed store, and several times people wanted me to go. I even went, this is by my ignorance, I guess. I don't know, naivety. I don't know what it was. I found a job I wanted, a high paying job. Walked in, interviewed. They said, we've never done this, but we're not going to hire nobody else. We want to give you the job. And then I went, well, can I pray about it? And they just looked at me like, you're here for the job. And we're giving you the job. And you're telling us, wait, you don't know about it? So I got up and walked out and I went and prayed about it. The Lord said no. Saved me a lot of time if I'd have prayed about it before. Went and interviewed for the job. Everybody stand. Just some soft music, please. 21 years ago, my pastor gave to me this right here. This Thompson chain was my lifeline. Because there were many, many times I was at a place where two ways met. I had a little smaller Bible than this. And I saved this one. I said, Lord, when you open the door for me to evangelize, I'm going to take that Bible that my pastor gave me and I'm going to evangelize with that Bible. And so when God called me to evangelize, I took that out of the box. And I can tell you many times I've wept over this. I've prayed over it. I sought counsel from it. Because when you're in a place where two ways meet, don't ever trust your feelings. Never. There's a word the Bible says, it's a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. Out of everything I could give a graduate today, I can give nothing more valuable than the word of the Lord. Brother Gavin, I want you to come up here, buddy. I love Brother Gavin. I love his worship. I love his passion for God. I love his purity. And Brother Gavin, what I'm fixing to give you today, buddy, it don't matter where you go on the face of this earth. It doesn't matter who you're surrounded with. It doesn't matter what you're feeling on the inside. What I'm fixing to give you is forever settled in heaven. And it's the greatest map you'll ever find. When you get to the place where two ways meet. I love you, buddy. Sister Lucy, I haven't got to know you very, very long. Come on up here, sweetie. But you got to touch a gentle spirit. Got to meet your family, and we're so excited they were able to join us this evening. And I heard on your bio that you have a desire to help people overcome mental health issues. There's nothing greater that you can use. The greatest textbook in the world will not come close to what this book can do. Bury yourself in this book. Direct people from this book. Don't stray from this book. When you're at that place where two ways meet, don't look to the right or to the left. You look right here in the Word of God. We love you. We're praying for you. Amen. Sister Stevenson, if you could come. Sister Sadie, Sister Lucy, come stand right in front of the pulpit, sweetie. I'm sorry. Sadie, it seems like just a few days ago. I'm not going to embarrass her. I'm not going to cry. But I had a little song that I used to sing to her when I had her bouncing on my knees. And I texted it to her the other day. It just reminded her. But just like Brother Gavin and just like Sister Lucy, the hand of God is evident upon your life. And though you may possess many Bibles, it's not about which version you read. It's about what you're going to for a reference point. There's not a reference point that's greater than this book right here. And where your feet step and where your hands touch, this book is going to direct you. I love you. Let's give all of our graduates a hand. Here's what I'm asking as we close this service. I'm asking Brother Jeremy and Sister Megan, and then all of these parents and grandparents, come gather around these. Sister Lucy, step up just a little bit. Come gather around these graduates. We're going to pray blessings over them. I want you to stretch your hands across and begin to pray the hand of God will touch each and every one of them today. Come join me, parents and family and grandparents, as we pray for them. Come on, church family. Come gather around them today. I want you to pray for their future. I want you to pray for their steps. Come on, church family. Come gather around these graduates today. Jesus, come on, pray for them. That God would honor them, that God would direct them.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his
face. I love you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm inviting our whole church family, make your way down to the front right now as we close this service at this altar. I want you to pray your blessings over your family. I'm inviting everyone, make your way down right now. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, God, we're in that place where two ways meet. Let us look to you for guidance. Let us look to you for direction. Let us look to you, God, for truth. Let us not look to the world. Let us not look to friends. Let us not look to peers. But we look